Hello, and welcome to another episode of Muse on Minis, episode 325.
Musing and amusing.
I'm Nigel, I play Kador.
This is Josh, and I play Mercenaries.
This is Keith, and I play Crix.
Brent, and I play Signar.
Steve Bass, and I play Trolls.
Oh yeah, getting on that sweet Trolls. Finally got a Chad back on the cast.
Yeah, that's true. We had a wild Chad sighting today in the chat.
I was trying
to coax him into coming out.
He posted an army list.
He did.
I was all like, yeah, you can totally house Crix with that list. I was like, I have no idea.
No idea, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was doing the same thing.
Wait, Chad posted a list?
He did.
Like, why is he not here to talk about this with me for like hours on end?
I don't know. Like, yeah. He said he really wanted to get on the cast, but then he heard there was a sea bass there, so.
Yeah.
I resign. If me stepping away means that Chad gets to come back on the cast,
you'd have to
be the hero that Trolls need. Then I resign from Muse.
You'll have to get permission from his lady.
Yeah.
So if he can manage that, then maybe we can.
Also, let's not get crazy. He hasn't played a game of War Machine yet.
In Mark III.
Yeah.
let's really. Indicate. Yeah,
he's played some games of Mark III. I have played him in Mark III one time.
Yeah, which is basically
so he's only like 60% better than me.
You've played Keith less than one time, but more than zero times. I don't understand what that means, Scott.
It means Chad's an exceptionally good player. So I'm pretty sure if he just shook off some rust, the Troll Blood community would love him for it.
Scott, don't undersell yourself. The Troll Blood community always roasted Chad in favor of Flanzer.
I remember a number of times Chad would say, I don't get it. Their thought process is entirely different, and they complain about losing all the time.
Yeah. No, the Troll Blood community never actually really appreciated Chad. And, you know, symbiotically, I also never really appreciated Chad. So.
Was Trolls or Signar the original toxic community?
I think Signar.
Signar. 100%.
Signar is the one we went after first.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is every community that is not Mercenaries is toxic, and Mercenaries is deluded.
Kador's is barely... borderline deluded also.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you have people that will swear up and down that Bombardiers are legit.
Yeah.
I use them in 60% of my list, and I win 100% of my
games.
I mean,
did anybody make the equivalent statement of a freebooter with Magnus 1 in Mark 2 was essentially Molot Karn? Because that wasn't just like a couple of crazies in the Mercenary Forum. That was the Mercenary Forum.
like Robert Shepard and everybody.
Yeah, like, well, Robert Shepard and like Hugo and I and like, you know, Charles Soong or whatever, we'd just be like, would you please stop taking Magnus 1 to begin with? And the very least, don't take a freebooter.
Yeah.
And everybody else is like, dude, it's basically Molot Karn for these very complicated reasons. And as long as you also take a wrestler on Wrong Eye and Snapjaw. Like, it was just like.
No, the Kador group's never been that bad.
Yeah, that's the Mercenary Forum to a T, which is 100% the biggest reason I regret Privateer Press, like, nixing the old, like, faction forums. Because just, like, I loved. Everyone else would be like, oh, I went into my faction forum. It was terrible. It was just so, like, meh, whatever. And I was like, I went into my faction forum, and I just, like, lived in a dreamland of a different game that doesn't actually exist but sounds awesome for, like, 30 minutes. And I came back to reality, and it was fine.
You get into an argument with someone in the Mercenary forums that playing the Searforge contract before the magic dwarves were released, that you could play a Searforge list and beat a Crix Incorporeal.
It wasn't just before Tactical Arcanist Corps. It was also before Osram. They would argue that. Durgan or Gorton leading only dwarves in Mark 2 could be any Crix, like, Lich 2. Like, just like. Yeah. Yep. It was a magical place.
Durgan players were like a special breed because, yes, they like, I don't know how it worked out in the forums, but it unpacked into tournaments where you like, you'd play a Durgan player and then they would feet, throw like three AoEs kind of in the general direction of your caster and then be extremely disappointed that it didn't work out.
And they didn't kill your caster.
They didn't kill your caster with blast damage.
Yep, yep, yeah. Accurate.
Yeah, 100%. And then you're looking at it like, that was like four blasts. Like, what were you going to do? Yeah.
Like, it yeah, sure, it's four dice, but it's POW sevens.
And you still and you still might not like, you might be, you could deviate off me.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of like, in Mark II, when people would play like Will of the Nine Voices, and like you would do something like put like a defense 16 caster behind cover on a hill, like whatever you could do to just stack defense, right? And so like invariably they would just run up many feet, whatever they had to do, and just dump like shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. And so it never failed because sometimes they just get lucky and they just killed you because that's what Will of the Nine Voices did. But a lot of times when they were just perpetually rolling uphill, needing like 11s and 12s to hit with POW 10s, you know, like it never failed that they like they would fail to assassinate you. And then you would look at them and be like, OK, well, I guess I just charge your army and kill it now. And so like after the game, they're just like, yeah, my dice totally just left me. Like
I was playing every... Butcher standing on a hill. I was 16, 18.
Yeah,
exactly. Like every time that happened, I would always hear a rep player being like, yeah, my dice just left me. Like my dice just weren't going to carry. Like, I guess my dice just decided I was going to lose that game that turn. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you need like 11s to hit? And then they look at me and they're like, well, yeah, but I had two units. It's like, what do you expect?
Perfect.
10 hits at dice minus 7 is at least 50 damage.
Exactly.
Like, no, it's like 8 damage.
What's really amazing is that, like, not to delay us too much or throw us off topic, but what's amazing is, like, you talk about, like, the faction communities. Have you ever noticed that, like, certain factions attract, like, certain personalities to them? Right? Like Trollbloods, like every Trollblood player I've ever met.
Mopey bastard. Oh, what were you going to say?
I mean, there's that, but there's also, like, because we can be quite the mopey group sometimes. But it's really funny, though, because a lot of times, like, the personality, if you see like a troll player, is like, you always hear the jokes about somebody saying, like, hey, hold my beer before going to do something really stupid. I actually think troll players do that more than we want to admit. Like, I actually think that's our personality type. Like, if you're going to play trolls and you're going to play them for a long time, I think you kind of have to be the guy who's just like, yeah, hold my beer. We're going to try it. And then when it fails, you're just like, maybe that wasn't the best plan. But that one time it works, like, that's a shirt off, dance around the table, like, scream, hockey dance, like, soccer dance, whatever. Like, it's great.
Hockey, soccer dance? That's where we went?
Yeah,
hockey,
you know, the soccer thing where, like, they, like, dance around the table, like, so like at the top of their
lungs. So, like, a touchdown dance? Team. Like, an in-zone dance? Like, a football dance?
Yeah, I guess. I have this image of, like, hockey and soccer players do, because they always, like, spin the goal and stuff. And, like, because the NFL had, like, that no celebratory rule for, like, years and years and years.
Yeah, I think so they still do, probably. For a
while. No, they lifted it.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. So you can pull a Sharpie out of your sock again and sign the football.
I don't know if they allow props. But I don't know if props are involved, but I think you can dance the jig or something, you know, roll the ball dice in the carpet or whatever.
Okay, all right. Yep. Yeah, okay. Okay. That's good. That's good to know that's what they addressed instead of all their players beating women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
I digress. Sorry for derailing.
It's no longer the no fun league.
You're good. We derail ourselves on a regular basis. If you have me on I know, Scott, you and I haven't been on a lot of casts together at this point, but I am the perennial train derailer. So...
Number of times I had to defend the viability of Magnus 2 to mercenary players who only believed in Magnus 1, who is a caster with no redeeming qualities that I can find. Just like, be like, every time the thread came up, because this was the favorite thing to do in Mark 2, like, rate your caster, or which is the worst caster in our faction? I'd be like, Magnus 1, not close. And they're like, what? He's like one of our best. Probably the best caster in the game.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. And the worst...
Did you see where...
The weirdest.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Josh.
The weirdest thing was like in the switch to Mark III. Like I think while the forum still existed, I made a couple threads. It was like, hey, I'm actually thinking about playing Magnus I. Like now that Jax are better, like actually his feat's like a real feat now. And then he gained this armor spell, which is pretty sweet because now it's not just the one on Jax. Like he can put it on units. It's like I think he actually runs Steelheads as well as Damiano maybe. And like, so like I would put like out a few posts. I was just like, I'm kind of feeling Magnus I. Has anybody else tried him? And then it was like, everyone was just like, Magnus I's the worst caster. I was like, damn it. Hey, like, what happened to you people? It's like the freebooter got better and Magnus I got better. Where's your freebooter Magnus I post now?
That is Molokai.
Yep.
And they all hated with a burning passion Magnus II.
Yep. Now they love him. I am...
Nothing changed!
I mean, Magnus II changed.
I guess he got a bit better.
He got better. But I'm not sure he got better in the right way. I haven't decided yet.
Some of the Damiano lists at the WTC look pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
it's
kind of Kingmakers.
It's all Kingmakers. Like that's the Charles Soong list. Charles Soong is probably like the mercenary player at the moment. Like everyone is playing his lists. The thing about it is that like I've kind of talked to and or read some of Charles' posts on occasion, and his general opinion is like, yeah, I play this Damiano Kingmakers list. He's like, and I've won a couple games into Ghost Fleet, but it's a pretty bad idea to try and play Damiano Kingmaker into Ghost Fleet. Like his theory is that mercs have to dodge right now. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Kingmaker is too restricted. But
they're not directly copying his list because no two of those Damiano lists that I looked at were the same.
Really? Okay. I haven't had the time to sit down and just like dig through the lists quite yet. So I'm
the only consistency between the ones that I looked at so far, and I fine tooth combed through about half of the WTC list so far, is that his battle group is always three nomads.
Yeah, I mean that's a bit over his points, and you know, like you're not spending too much, so you're not like cutting into your free points or whatever. Actually, I don't remember if Warjacks count for. I don't think that they do count for free points in that list. It's been a little while since I've played Kingmakers.
But then it's like a mix-up of if it's one full unit of trenchers or two full units of trenchers and what's behind those trenchers. Sometimes it was steelheads, and sometimes it was like multiple units of steelheads. Sometimes it's steelheads and calves. Sometimes it was one unit of steelheads and crows. Like, there's variations.
The nice thing about him, right, is that he's like a super generalist. So you can put almost any unit in your list and Damiano will be like, yeah, I can make them do their job better. Like it almost doesn't matter. So like you can, that's the thing that I really wish they would put him into Lely's, into the Highborn Resistance. Cause I think it makes sense for him to be there. And I feel like him getting access to a list of like two different factions worth of units is pretty interesting. Whereas,
non-character now.
Yeah, so we cut out Black 13th and Rovan & Co., which is not, like, a tremendous loss.
Mm-hmm.
Rovan & Co., I was debating a McBain list with Rovan & Co. and Choir and, like, just Jax. I was like, yeah, that galleon's pretty sweet. And then, you know, the nomads and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rovan & Co. loss there, I guess, is, like, semi-relevant. But the nice thing is that they all count as Laylee's units. You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they all gain Pathfinder. I actually... Plus one to hit with Ashlyn. And reposition with Gibbs.
You also lose out on Covenant now, don't you?
You never could take it.
No, it's units, not solos. You're talking about the book?
They were discussing, I thought they were discussing Covenant and CID forums on that.
They may have been discussing it, but it hasn't been.
They added it to Faithful Masses. It's certainly not in the Lately's, of course.
Yeah. Laylee's has always just been units. Started off as a single small-based unit. Then they added two units of any type, but it had to be from the same faction. And now it's two units of any types, has to be from the same faction, and can't be a character unit. But becomes Laylee's, which means that they are granted Pathfinder under the Theme Force, in addition to gaining Veteran Leader from Ashlyn, gaining Reposition from Gibbs. You can actually in Laylee's in the Highborn Resistance as it's currently written, you can play a Haley 3 type of cloud wall with trenchers because they'll reposition back out of their clouds, which is interesting. I actually, Gaston currently, at least through 2 weeks now, has had a armor spell that's plus 3 armor to a warrior unit and tough. And part of me is considering Bastions because they become 11-19. Yeah. You can take Verendry in the Laylee's Resistance because he's Laylee's for some reason. And he heals D3 a turn. So you get like a tough unit that's like 11-19, can share wounds. They get healing. And then
they get a hot meal and they all get healed to full.
Right. Also a hot meal. So like that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Like they're blessed weapon masters, blessed magical weapon masters. I'm pretty sure they're at least magical weapon masters. I think they're blessed as well.
I think they are.
They used to be.
POW 11. They're slow under Gaston. You know, they're regular speed 4, 2-inch reach. But I was trying to think about answers to Ghost Fleet and Dark Host this week. Like something like what kind of things cover both? And mercenaries don't have a lot of units that I feel like cover both. I'm not really sure that Bastions are very good into Dark Host. Like Bane still seem like a big problem. Although having Thorn Gun Mages to help cover them might help a little bit. I don't know. But they at the very least seem somewhat reasonable into Ghost Fleet since they can wound and kill everything. And being 11-19 with the ability to share wounds and heal up makes them fairly invulnerable to getting shot off the table. And actually seems a little tough to chew through, even through charges. I don't know. I'm just trying to dig into that because, like I said, you look through mercenaries units and you're just like, what gives me the option to like remove stuff or have magical weapons or whatever the case, like hit hard enough to take like a Wraith Engine off the table, survive in some way through the attacks put out, like what exists. And mercenary units are few and far between that can answer those kinds of things. So I was hoping Laylee's Resistance just giving me the opportunity to take units from Signar or Protectorate would help with that. I'm not sure it really does, but I'm interested in exploring a couple of the options at least.
Yeah. The Bastion one's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, like 11-19, 5 boxes split between them, heal D3 a turn, slash heal everything in one turn. Like, that's interesting at least.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Gaston into Crix, though, because he's a soul-based caster, and he can take no souls from Crix, so... He gets
not as it stands, yeah.
Right.
Not
until I mean, he gets
the Black Fleet comes out.
Right. He gets souls from the models he puts the shield guard thing onto. Whatever that spell's called, Lifebound. So from his own units, like he can basically like these few models that are forward and that you're pretty much guaranteed to try and kill because you want to like score this zone or like you gotta move forward or whatever. Like I'll get souls from those. So he can like, he's not like Alexia, too. Like, he still can get souls when he's going up against Crix. It's just a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
He is apparently currently going through a dev talk as of today, which I kind of want to log into. So we'll see how he turns out. But anyway, that's enough about that.
They were looking at modifying his Ura Shield Guard spell.
Yeah. I feel like that one needs work.
Last look was either it's an upkeep on a unit or his stealth goes away from his feet and it just affects that one spell affects everybody.
I actually would kind of just prefer that he had hollow. Like I like that the models turn into a shield guard, but I'd much rather just be like, this is my jam unit and every member of my jam unit that you kill, I get a soul. Mm-hmm. Like I would just kind of rather have that. So I don't know.
So the upkeep version would do that. Any model that was destroyed, you would get the soul, but the entire unit would also become shield guards on top of that.
Shield guards. Yeah. Which is not, I mean, I wouldn't complain. I would rather have that than tough, I think. Particularly in Mercs and Laylee's Highborn, where I can take Piper and give the unit tough if I want it. So, yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, we don't have to talk about Mercs and the CID. We can talk about whatever you guys want.
That's cool that's going on right now. I was just, random observation, today was the first day of, like, it's not fall yet. But it just felt like, oh, summer's over. Get the F out.
Yep.
And it just, like, the smell of it made me, like, War Machine.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
just like, it's War Machine season.
Yeah, War Machine yeah. time.
Football, War Machine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, just things change. Like, it's just real, yep. like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it did feel good today. After work, I went out on our new patio and had a beer and just felt nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Just yeah, walking out of the house this morning, I was just like, holy crap. You know, just it hits you like a ton of bricks, like you know, the sort of nostalgic feeling or whatever.
It's just like you can just smell that pumpkin spice in the air.
Yep. Yeah, goddamn it.
Oh, pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm. I have officially 10 mark, like current Marauders assembled.
Uh-huh. Completely assembled.
Completely assembled.
Ready for priming.
Yep.
They will wait till you paint them to nerf them.
I'm priming them. I'm priming them tonight.
Okay.
And then
could let everybody know when you think you'll have them fully painted so everyone can sell their Marauders by that point.
Possibly by this Saturday.
Okay.
So is the goal.
Get your Marauders sold by this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the nerf is coming. It's coming hard. I can tell. But yeah, I got them. I like spent 4 hours yesterday in the shop, like literally scouring everything. Hmm. Found all like the spare arms that people sent me. Thank you, Brent, for sending me a few sets of arms. So
nice.
Oh, no problem.
As I smash into people with that list, they'll have Brent to thank. Is more my point. And then, like the Kozlov box, I just had like a bunch of Kozlov boxes, so I had to like assemble like you know a part of a Juggernaut, a part of a.
Wait, how many Kozlovs do you own?
Five Kozlovs.
Five Kozlovs.
Yeah, I own five Kozlovs. Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, there's like a gray tub with four Kozlovs, and then there's a fifth Kozlov in my, you know, on my desk right now. But yeah.
How many Kozlovs do you play?
Zero.
Yes.
Zero Kozlovs.
The correct number of Kozlovs.
There actually is, sorry, one of the Kozlovs is in my case, just in case for some reason I ever do use one of them.
Right.
But yeah, if anybody needs a Kozlov, hit me up. I'll just mail you a Kozlov. I've got, But if you're ever doing the Marauder trick, hit all your friends up for the Marauder arms, and then buy the – it's like $35 for two heavies, which is – and then sometimes you even get discounted beyond that. And you get a free little rule book that you can try to sell. So, yeah, it's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, even above and beyond wholesaling is just getting – just buying that stupid starter kit. And
then you'll be the Kozlov fairy.
Yep. You'll be the Kozlov fairy and the baby rule book fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know where all the baby rule books are. I have one on my desk, and I'm sure there's one floating around here somewhere, but I don't know where the other, like, four or the three are.
John, maybe John took him home to read rules?
Mm-hmm. Just rolls in them like Scrooge McDuck?
No,
yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's,
yeah.
Yep. So what I hadn't realized about the, that potential cloud wall for the Lely's one is how big it is.
It's big.
Because if you take two units of trenchers and your army consists of nothing else at this point, so it's still not good, but it's a very big cloud wall, is you have one unit go up with Gibbs in position, make their clouds and reposition out. Then he runs to the other side of the table and another unit does the same thing. So you can have like probably 12 clouds across.
You can.
He's only command 7 and the distance he can run is like an issue.
That's 19 inches, yeah.
Realistically, a cloud wall is only as good as the guns you can put behind it or the army that you can put behind it.
Yeah.
And if your two units are trenchers, there's nothing behind your glad wall. There's like some mules, I guess.
Yeah.
Freebooters, a bunch of mullet carns.
You got thorn gun mages who are actually stealth in the clouds, which is kind of nice. Yeah. So you've got thorn gun mages. You can protect devil dogs so they can actually get to Jax. If they get to Jax, they'll trash them up. You got a bunch of solos is really what you've got, which is not horrendous, but I don't think two units of trenchers is the way to go. If you're going to do that, I think probably just playing the one and having like, it's not going to end up being a big army. Like Laylee's resistance is just never going to be a ton of infantry models. So you don't need like a huge cloud wall. I don't feel. If it's protecting Ashlyn and a core of like pretty good solos, not like the most powerful solos, but solid solos, and then a few Jacks and Thorn Gun Mages, like that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can also be protecting Storm Knights with Quicken.
With the proper list construction, it might be almost as good as Haley 3.
Sure.
I don't think that's like the craziest thing ever.
It's not the craziest thing ever, but it is a different kind of mercenary.
Yeah, I think that's fine. But people are calling for its destruction already because it's the end of the world.
Oh, right.
My tone is responding to that, not what you guys are saying.
Gotcha, so. I understand. I definitely saw a few people who were just like, this is the thing that's going to get it nerfed. And I was like, what? Why? Why? There's plenty of cloud walls in the game right now. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? that you play. Oh, Dark Host with the Coven, like, and the two clouds they can put down, plus the veil of mists, plus the fact that they have their feet that they have, and like, this is not. Trencher's repositioning 3 inches out of their clouds. Like, that's not a thing to get banned or shut down.
God damn it. Now this cloud wall. This is the problem with cloud walls. We can't talk about cloud walls with me on anywhere in the room, because then I get enamored with cloud
really
walls.
Excited about cloud walls.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like
it is like one of your fetish points.
Yeah,
for
it's like
sure.
My Solomon's gold or whatever. I just immediately have to like, God damn it. Because I'm like, oh wait, Harkovich with like eight Kodiaks. all the clouds.
Yeah. Yep.
God. I just remember all the fool's gold I chased in Mark II for that.
You did have a lot of, like, you're like, I've done it. I've cracked the Kador Cloudwall. The game is over.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Nigel, let's see it.
Yeah. And then it just literally collapsed.
It was like, not horrendous.
It was just like every time you could almost hear, like, that stupid, like, pop-up box. It just explodes and didn't work. It smashed into itself. And, yeah, it was miserable. I'm going to have the Tactical Arcanist Corps with Tactical Supremacy and Valachev, and then they'll get out of their cloud wall, and I'll have Energizer on 2 Kodiaks. I'll have 5 clouds. Oh! Just like a bunch of crap that literally can't move. It's like,
yep,
this wall-to-wall parking lot behind it. So if anybody walked in the cloud and had an AoE, I'm just completely done, which happened every time.
Also, it just kind of felt like all your stuff was so piled up on top of each other that I was like, okay, so how far? I can move, like, really close to your cloud wall and not get charged?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Miserable. Although the Harkovich, like, 8 Marauder plan, if I can get 8 Marauder, or sorry, Kodiaks, yeah. There might be something there.
You want to borrow 2 of mine when you head back from KC?
Maybe. I've got 2. I actually have 2 and a crappy metal one. So that's 3.
You have a bunch of Marauders that can Kodiak proxy for a little bit.
Well. Oh, man. God damn it, guys.
Until we beat your cloud wall out of you. You just use those Marauders as Kodiaks.
Yep. And then I'll just take Ragman. It'll literally be because, like, hopefully they'll allow me to take, like, the Merc solo eventually here. I'll just take Ragman as my Merc solo so that, like, they're not all pillow fisted when you get behind the clouds.
I mean, that would help.
Yep.
It would help.
Yep. Think about it. Harkovich would be so safe.
So safe and warm behind the clouds.
Yeah, exactly. And it's faster than you think. It moves 9 inches a turn. So it's like a cloud wall. It's kind of coming up on you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Legit.
All right. Enough of the cloud wall stuff. I'm getting excited. Did you guys see that Kador had some CID shenanigans and Insider today?
I saw there was a Man of War theme, but I didn't check it. I didn't have time to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to lay it down?
Well, you get free dudes for Man of Wars, obviously.
Okay.
There's a Man of War Battle Engine that comes out. It's 15 points and has a gun that's
Man of War Battle Engine?
Yep. It's 15 points, has a gun that's D3+1. I think it's only range 10, POW 12.
Okay.
But it has boosted attack rolls because it's like spraying so much ammo into the area.
Okay.
I don't know what else it does, but at 15 points, and if that's its gun, is not spectacular, so it probably does a lot of support stuff. It probably heals dudes around it or
sure
something stupid. It's probably infuriatingly overpowered. And then we're getting some new solos and some UAs. Bombardiers are getting range 12, and then they're also getting an order where if they aim, they do something, but I can't remember what it was.
They're getting Pathfinder on advances, not charges.
Yep.
And the officer gives them quick work, mini feet, dual attack, and the Pathfinder.
It's dual attack is they can shoot twice. So if they aim, they can shoot twice.
Oh,
it's not. It's not. They can charge and then shoot afterwards. They don't get that type of dual attack. They get like rapid attack or dual shot or something. So if they aim, they can shoot twice is what he gives them as a mini feed. I had to reread it, Brent. Also, I had to reread it like 10 times because it's the way it's worded. I thought it was like, oh, they could charge and then shoot their like AOEs. Like, you know, that's what I've obviously always wanted.
Got all excited.
I did. I mean, I knew they weren't going to fix them, but
the battle engine does give them or is speed 7, which is really relevant with the theme as well.
Super relevant. Also, it has advanced moves with the theme. So, and it's just the battle engine. The battle engine has advanced move, and then these like tanker solos. And we don't know what those solos do. If it's the guy with the 2 shields and the miniguns, or I don't know. It could be neat. Here's the problem with Shot Troopers is that they're slow. and they get run over by cricks. And I don't see how they cure that illness. So,
well, they don't have to be competitive into cricks to be competitive, right? Like, you get two lists.
No, I know, but we need a tier list that's competitive into cricks.
I mean, that's
for me to care.
That's what,
so far they swung and missed.
That's what every non-Signar faction has to say right now.
Yeah, it's just another not cricks drop. Yay!
Yeah.
The Turnian one is the more intriguing one. Like, maybe something's going on in there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Anything else super exciting you guys saw?
The new conversions theme, or was that covered last week?
I don't think we really delved too much into CID last week.
I think we talked about Orion himself, but we did not talk about the theme, I don't think.
Yeah, we barely touched on Orion either, because I didn't even really still understand exactly what he did.
So the other conversions theme was basically Axis's old theme with four Enigma Foundries and no Servitors.
And all infantry.
Yeah, I want to say they got advanced move on them, but I've got at least one friend who's really hoping that he can make it work with Lucant, positive charge, galvanizers, and keeping shield guard for the Enigma Foundries.
I think now would be an interesting time to pull up the numbers on number of players that took convergence at the WTC.
Not many. Of the half or so that I went through, I think I saw three or four.
Okay.
More than trolls, I think?
I would guess that's, somewhere in the 10-12 range.
Okay. That's a little bit more than I suspected.
Smart bookmark.
I think trolls was the trolls outside of minions was the least populous faction.
Okay.
I think there were like 8 troll players and 6 minion players, I think.
Here we go. Yep. There were 14 conversions, 12 grimkin, 8 trolls and 4 minions.
Okay. 12 is a little higher than I would have expected. Although I suppose they're like a pretty reasonable faction in the team tournament where you can protect them. And they're also kind of like a weird skew frequently.
There were 29 circle lists as well.
Is Legion the highest minions?
No, Circle.
Circle
Legion
is?
At 27.
Okay.
There's actually 20 Scorn as well, surprisingly.
That is surprising to me.
I think Circle's going to show up, or I think at least the propensity for Circle to show up more has a lot to do with the ability to protect the Circle matchup against Kador. Like, when you can kind of insulate Circle against Kador, like, I think, doesn't Circle just get to do, like, typical Circle things, and then that's really, really bad for the world?
I am not knowledgeable enough about Circle's shortcomings to be able to answer that.
Kind of the standard going run-of-the-mill thought process is that Circle really struggles into Kador, like, multiple heavy armor bricks. Mainly because of casters like Harkovich, who can give them Pathfinder, and so there's nowhere that they can really hide, and they struggle to play. Circle just struggles to attrition that much armor.
Sure.
Right? And so there's been a lot of Circle players that have voiced concern about that. So when the WTC lists were released, a lot of people were really surprised about the number of Circle that actually showed up. And then the thought process that I was talking to a couple of my friends about was, I think if you can insulate Circle against, just the Kador armor matchup, like, I think Wormwood and Krieger 2 just get to do Wormwood and Krieger 2 things, right? Because then you don't even have to make concessions to the armor matchup. Like, you can go back to, like, your Sentry Stone plan, and then, like, they just get better and better and better from there, right?
So
I don't know. I'm legitimately asking, but that's what it seems to me like it would be.
So to back up your theory, in particular, I assume that there is a large number of Wormwood players, but Krieger 2 seems relatively reviled amongst the Signar theory, amongst the Circle players.
He does, and I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either. How many Krieger 2 lists exist, according to the numbers on the WTC?
Not many. There's a few out there. The most common pairing that you'll see in for the Circle players, the pattern that was emerging is that it's Wormwood and Una.
Baldur 2 and Krieger 2 seem like a really strong list pair to me, conceptually. I don't know how it would play into this Krix and Signar meta necessarily.
Krieger covers a lot of the same territory that Wormwood does. You could even take Krieger and Una as well. And then if you don't feel up to snuff cracking all the armor you need to with Krieger, you can just take Tuna.
Okay.
And just blow four or five heavies off the table in one go.
Yeah.
16 Wormwoods, 13 Unas, 5 Kruger 2s.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I have a question on the Merc side.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah.
17 Ostrom 1 players.
Uh-huh. I need to go through those lists. I'm curious. Do
3
you know
Gorton players for a total of 20 Dwarf players? I don't see any of the third one.
Yeah, it's because Durgan's the bad one.
Durgan.
He's always been the bad one. People refuse to accept it in Mark II.
22 Siege Crowers?
I'm really surprised by that. I think that unit is fairly garbage. But I was playing it during CID, and while I was playing it, I played it into essentially zero other huge bases. In this current meta where it's like a battle engine and at least every other list, they may be better because the offensive output might be okay. The big problem with it is that it's pretty garbage into the Wraith engine because, well, you got to have Ayana, or I guess your objective, give it magic weapons, mm-hmm. and then it's just the one attack. And
I just found it interesting that there were more of those, though, than there were lists. Some lists had to double up on it.
Yeah, I suspect that you'll see a few Osram double siege engine lists. I don't think it's good. But there is a theory amongst the Merc players at the moment that, like, you run two and it counts, like, in Hammerstrike, right? Like, it counts towards your... I'm assuming any double siege engine lists are going to be Hammerstrike. If they're not, then it's probably a real bad list, would be my take.
Yeah, there were 16 Hammerstrike lists.
Yeah, and those are probably all... I'm surprised there's an Ostrom list that's not Hammerstrike, because they can't take irregulars. So there's somebody playing Ostrom out of theme, which seems incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Your siege crawlers count towards your free models in Hammerstrike. The problem is, like, you still need to take infantry to get use of the siege crawlers. Here's my problem with the siege crawler. It's a rat 6 unboostable set of weapons. It's like D3 plus 1 POW 12s and 2 POW 15s that do gain boosted damage rolls against huge bases. At rat 6... you need to be shooting at defense 12 or lower. None of the dwarves, Gorton gives you the ability to shoot on his feet turn, shoot at lower defense models with the slide. But I really don't think that he ever wants to run a siege crawler. I don't think it really does much for him. He certainly doesn't care about the recursion because dwarves are generally bad mm-hmm. under him.
That's probably what people are thinking, though, when they take two, is that it's basically Ghost Fleet.
Yeah, no, that's 100% the idea is like, oh, I'll take Ostrom with two siege crawlers, and then I get 2d3 like models back every turn, and it doesn't matter how bad they are, except it does, because they don't get to attack, and they're pretty much always Forge Guard. And when Forge Guard, like, advance 4 inches and don't attack, they just die. Like, it's just a fact of life that, aside from Ostrom holding his Forge Guard back, popping feet, and then getting them to charge and a few living past that point, Forge Guard are terrible models. You almost never see them anywhere else. He is the only caster that can support them, and even under him, they do one specific thing, and you have to use them in a specific way. So recurring them is not a particularly powerful ability, particularly when they can't attack. And you're paying 18 points for a Siege Crawler, which... what it's doing is recurring Forge Guard, which is not particularly powerful, and then it's giving you pretty mediocre offense on top of it. The one thing it does do that's interesting now is that it removes stealth from a model for turn. Mm-hmm. And with Ostrom, that's nice for trying to kill Denny. So that may be part of the plan. It also provides a place for Ostrom to hide behind a huge base model that he can see through because of Tactician. So it has some positive qualities, but overall the model is pretty negative value for its points, in my opinion. Obviously, there are plenty of people that disagree with me. It is 40 boxes. It's armor 20. Like, that's a decent amount to chew through, but I also have had it nearly one-rounded in two of the games that I played it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more boxes than any heavy.
It is. It absolutely is. But it's also 18 points. Drillers are 10.
So it's pricey.
Yeah. So it just... yeah, I don't think that it provides enough value on the table to justify playing it, but there are plenty of people who disagree with me, and there are, the people who disagree with me most adamantly are probably the ones who are playing too.
Mm-hmm.
Scott on the troll front somebody took minimum champions.
Yep. Yep, yep. What was really surprising when I went through... Do you guys mind if I just talk about trolls for
go
a
for
second?
It.
Do you want me to do that?
I am going to go ahead and use the restroom and throw up.
Yeah.
But you go ahead.
Yep.
Oh, well, thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. No, what was really surprising when I went through the troll list today was... there was kind of your prerequisite, like, Doom Shaper 3 lists, which Doom Shaper 3, if I remember correctly, was the most populous Warlock taken. That didn't surprise me. What did surprise me is there was no Kalandra. I was really shocked about that. Her kit seems to be really good. There was a Jarl list up there that I thought was really interesting. And obviously, because it's the WTC, like, you get the opportunity to build a list for a specific matchup. And I think that's obviously what this Jarl list was doing. But it seemed like it would answer gun lines pretty well, but give you like a little bit of flexibility and movement. So it might like it seemed like it was a really cool list. There was some Doomshaper 2, as to be expected. I think he was the number 2. There was, I think, one Gristle 2.
There's at least one.
And then, okay, yeah, one Gristle 2. And then there was a smattering of the others. I just thought it was really interesting when I got in and I started looking at some of the list composition. Just no Kalandra shocked me.
Oh, no, like, it's still going.
I don't remember. I'm done.
No, you're good. I'm just being a jackass. Keep going.
But I was also really shocked at the lack of Grim 2. Because I actually, in my perception, I think Grim 2 and Doomshaper 3 are probably the strongest Warlocks in that faction. And, of course, that's just simply my opinion. And just like what Josh said earlier, I know there will be a lot of people who disagree with that. But I can't help but feel that Grim 2 is probably stronger than the numbers of representation give him. But if he's not solving the problems they need to solve, then I don't blame them for not taking him. I also think there was very little Creel Company taken. And while that theme force feels like it kind of struggles to find exactly where it wants to be, I feel like there's probably a little bit more value in that theme force than the community's probably giving it at this point. So I was kind of surprised, but I wasn't totally shocked to see that there was essentially no Krill Company. I think there was one Krill Company list, if I remember correctly. Unfortunately, I don't have the numbers in front of me. So Keith, if I say something wrong, please obviously correct me.
I don't have the stats up.
I've got it pulled up. There's no Krill Company. There was 10 Dunia, 6 Banded Heroes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
So there's it's 8 players in total, right?
Yes.
Which makes it hard to extrapolate a lot of meaningful data from what was taken because it's such a small sample size that at that point.
Also, with trolls having been for a while considered to be a non-competitive faction, a lot of the community's processing power hasn't really gone into optimizing troll lists.
Yeah.
Because it's not considered to be a worthwhile exercise.
Right.
So there's always going to be the core of dedicated players that work on it. And maybe there's some great troll lists hiding out there, but I don't know that even some of the more competitive troll players might be playing other things at the WTC if they're there, or I'm not sure. I don't think what we have here is necessarily what is considered to be the best of trolls.
Right. Well, we've talked about it in the past, right? That, the WTC is oftentimes a little wonky to look at. Like when you're looking at something like Crix, it's taken in such large numbers and you've got, 15 Denny and Coven pairings out of it. Like that is pretty meaningful data because you have a significant chunk of players playing Crix. And then on top of it, you also have a significant section of those players doing the same thing. But when you start to get into smaller numbers like 8 troll players, you're also looking at things like, for some of these smaller countries, it's kind of like, here's our 5 best players, and this guy plays trolls, but he's one of our best players, so, yeah. He's on the team, and then he brings his troll faction along or whatever.
And the beauty of the format is that you could have a Scorn or troll or merc player or whatever.
Right.
And your goal is to get them into matchups where, because those lists, every faction has a lot of great matchups. So
right.
You have the ability to,
if you can control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like at WITC, I told Keith to keep me out of Crix and I didn't have to play Crix all day and went a resounding 2-2. So,
yeah.
Well, and it does show, Like, it is interesting when I look at trolls specifically, because I actually look at, when I look at trolls, I actually kind of think like they're kind of like a rock. Like, they're the rock. They're, rock is a Magic the Gathering term. There was a deck called Rock.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Rock Alcatraz, just, mm-hmm. or the great movie about Alcatraz, starring Sean Connery mm-hmm. and Nicolas Cage.
and Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
So, like, I'm pretty sure just the fact that we said Nicolas Cage, like, Carl Morgan just, like, popped his head up and was like, someone channels my spirit.
I'm hoping that's what somewhere. Happens.
I am, too. But it's actually, like, a Rock deck in Magic was a deck that kind of just played a 50-50 game all the time. Like, they just played a 50-50, right? And if you're a good player, you won with it. That's how that deck worked. And I actually feel like in a lot of ways, like, trolls feel like that. Like, trolls, I don't feel, just have, like, a windmill slam into a lot of matchups. But every time I build, like, a troll pairing, like the one that I was dojoing with Keith and Brent, like, every time I build, like, a troll pairing, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is playable games into just about everything in the field. It just comes down to, am I a good enough player to play it, right? And so I was kind of thinking about that, and I'm like, well, if you have a faction that's kind of like a 50-50 field, but you're in a team environment where you really need like a laser precise instrument of destruction to eliminate a matchup, then I don't think any 50-50 matchup or any faction that wants to just go 50-50, I don't think they're going to see as much utility or as much play in those kind of situations, right? Because you have access to more focused answers to specific problems.
You
does
do.
That make any sense?
You do, and it does make sense, but there is also some value on a team to having a player that's just like, drop me into whatever, and I'll just try to outplay my way. Like, having a guy that you can do that with is also valuable mm-hmm. in a team situation. So I don't disagree with you necessarily, Scott. But I do think there is some value in the team format to having a guy who says, there's very little that you, I don't have a game if you drop me.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah.
The opposite of that is that the other great thing about it, too, is that you have, say you have five guys, four guys, you have two super hitters. Like, your cleanup guys that are very good.
Your Keiths of the world.
Yeah, your Keiths of the world. And then you have two guys that are, like, pretty good, like, you know, tournament seasoned. And then
you
have the fifth
Brent
guy.
Your Brent Simons of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And then your fifth guy is a perfectly good player but has a more limited, you know, because he's a specialist, he's a troll player or whatever, has limited. You, A, can try to line up him into great matchups, or you can just throw him to the wolves and also just dump.
Maybe.
You can literally throw him into just garbage and
he might.
He probably will lose, but that's fine. You have to... In those team tournament formats, having an option to just throw someone away, essentially, is also good.
And he might come out of it with a win, which, if it happens, your team's probably winning.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Also, traditionally, trolls has been seen to be, like, automatically dead into cricks. And this is something that Chad and I talked about in previous WTCs. Is like, if we can get trolls to beat cricks, it's the perfect trap.
Right.
As long as it doesn't look too obvious. And there's one list that I was looking at that I was like, it's the perfect trap. Because it's a Madrak 3 band of heroes with like some fast stuff in it, like Fenblades. And I was like, oh man, if that guy can trap a Krix player, is that he's just gonna hammer him with all this RFP spell piercer attacks. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of the list that you were looking at. The Madrak 3 list you were looking at is very similar to the one that I played with Madrak 3 for a little bit. His is probably a little bit more developed than mine is. But if you, like, the problem I ran into with that in my list pair was that it never felt like I always just ended up in, like, exactly where I wanted to drop it. I always felt like I was just better dropping a different list. But if you get stuck in the matchup where you're like, the dream, I get to live the dream, then, like, yeah, like, it's stupid crazy. Because there were a couple times where I did get to drop it into matchups that I had specifically built that list to handle. And it was crazy. Like, 4+ tough, no knockdown, I'm going to advance 3 inches if you shoot me Fenblades, who then will charge under mini feet and spell piercer to, like, not have to worry about all your armor buffs and stuff. Like, it was solid. It was good.
Well, spell piercer, more importantly, it gives him magic attacks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the Ghost Fleet matchup, obviously, you have a real answer to... you have a real answer to Blackbane's Ghost Raiders. But you always kind of have that in every troll list anyway, because you're always playing a stone.
Mm-hmm. But Spell Pierce allows you to roll it out, so you don't have to put your stone sort of anywhere near anything. You could just have it hanging back.
Right.
Spell Piercer be good. I want it in Kador.
Yep.
Hashtag Zerkovitu. CID.
Yeah, the problem is usually when you get Spell Piercer, you get it on the caster that has not a lot else going for them.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I have noticed
like Mandrake
that.
3 outside of Spell Piercer is kind of hard to love.
Yaga. Even Yaga, I don't think is great outside of Spell Piercer. But...
Yeah, Yaga, kind of hard to love.
Is...
Tyrone, pretty hard to love.
Yeah.
Resnik 2 the exception?
I mean, Resnik 2 is in a faction where they didn't need it, right?
Which is weird.
Like they also put Eye of Truth in that faction.
So right. Yeah. Hashtag like Will Pagani, Close Circuit Will Pagani. If you want to take away Fog of War and give Sorsha 1 Spell Piercer, boom, I'll take it. Hashtag Kador Bust.
What's
that?
Just say.
Hey, that's what I, and CID. I got get rid of Chosen Ground. Mm. I don't need Heightened Reflexes back. Give Ashlyn Spell Piercer.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Okay. What did I just say? You can get it on casters that are otherwise crap.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to break that trend.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to break the wheel.
Keith, are you implying More Than Ever 2 is crap?
Oh my god, I forgot about her.
I actually forgot that she was even a thing, like a caster that had been made. That had a set of rules and a model. I forgot all of that.
I also did. I'm like, wow, should we talk about her? Did she just come out?
She in CID?
Yeah. <It's> like,
winning. Well, do we have any other interesting things to talk about CID? Brent or Keith, did you have any things that jumped out to you that you wanted to talk about? Not CID, sorry.
WTC?
WTC is what I meant.
Oh, not really. I'm still formulating a lot of thoughts. I'll probably have more in the weeks to come.
Sure.
Just, like, totally random, just cursory observations. There's a... guys, I just went through and, like, looked at, like, Kador players and Krix players. I just wanted to kind of see, like, Kador and Krix list and Signar list specifically. I think those are the top three represented factions.
Yes.
And it was kind of cool because I got to see a list that I specifically played down in Kansas City, like to the model. Martin Ragnath Florian is playing a Jaws of the Wolf Iris 2 list, where he's got a Behemoth, a Juggernaut, and then he's got a Forge Seer running a Destroyer. He's got a Widowmaker Marksman. I had a second Forge Seer. And then he's got two full units of Kyazi Assassins, Eliminators, and the Widowmakers.
So not to the model.
To a model. Within a model.
I think there's a second one of those two, Nigel, where they ran three jugs as Irisk's battle group and Behemoth separately.
Oh, okay. But I liked that list a lot, and I don't know why I haven't been playing it lately, but I think it's mostly because it's just good against crappy stuff. Like, it's good into like, Menoth and Kador and other just stuff that I don't need to care about.
Right. Scorn.
Yeah, Scorn, exactly.
Crushes. My list crushes Scorn, bro. Okay, cool. Now test it.
But yeah, I don't think the real lists out there are really all that terrified of it. So I was like, but yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the list a lot, though.
Looking at the roster.
Talking about Kador, one of the interesting trends that you can notice in some of the Kador lists, especially from the regions that are more, that have, like, looked like they've spent a lot more time developing their lists. So I'm looking at England here. There was a guy named, I think, Richard Beach are his lists. And then there's a second England team. So those guys play against just tons of Signar and tons of Krix in that con circuit in the European main, like, West Coast Europe area. And I think Kador's kind of feeling like the third child to Krix and Signar. They're like, it's like I have trouble with both of these. And so sometimes instead of building their strongest lists, quote unquote, you see some Kador lists that are built like, I have an answer for Krix and I have an answer for Signar. And so it's kind of interesting to see those. And a lot of times, apparently, it's Zerkova 1 that gets pulled as the Signar answer. And then what they use as their Krix answer is there's some variations on it. Mm-hmm. So there's like a Sorsha 2 here that's kind of interesting with some good contesting pieces to try to stay alive in scenario, like the Kazi Eliminators and some Kossite Woodsmen, something that Nigel will appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Zerkova 2. I think one of the Kador players is running Zerkova 1, Zerkova 2. And Zerkova 1, Legion of Steel, seems to be a kind of a go-to for the Signar answer.
What are her tools for fighting into Signar?
And then
it's been too long since you played Zerkova 1.
A Cloud Wall. And then an anti-shooting feat.
Here's the one you were talking about, Keith. It's Zerkova 2, Behemoth, Silas, Cauldron Lord, Ragman, Min Outriders, Max Outriders, Ion and Holt with Valachev, and a Battle Engine.
Yeah. So I like seeing those. I'm interested. I'm hoping to get to cast some of those games to see how they do, especially if they can slot into some of those matchups that they're targeting.
Right.
I was just talking to Pat a little bit, and he's like, yeah, a lot of the KTOR players in Europe are like, have sort of thrown out the window all the lists that just seem strong in KTOR, and instead are just like, well, if I can't beat Krix and I can't beat Signar, then there's no point in going to the tournament. So they just take those lists and try to just play them into the other matchups.
That certainly makes some sense.
Yeah, also the with the weather turning, the WTC coming out the list and just going over to Conflict Chamber and seeing it all. It's like, oh, that was also nostalgic. Like, oh, it's fall. Like, yeah it's just another the WTC's rolling. Like, yeah, it's exciting. Like, I literally today, I think I had goosebumps a few times. It was like, oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to getting a chance to sit down and just pour over the lists. I want to look critically at all the Ostrom lists. Declare that all these people that are playing in the WTC are obviously worse than me for taking Siege Crawlers.
Really focus on Team Red and how terrible a few of their lists are.
Is that the Squirrely Shirleys?
It is the Squirrely Shirleys. USA Red, I have to commend Alex Cosma, who's essentially repping Ocean's 18. It's not exactly, but it's like the closest facsimile I've seen in Mark III, because Mark III is almost unmakeable.
Uh-huh.
But he's given it a college effort. He's got like literally he's got a Behemoth and a Marauder, a Reinhold, Alexia on the horse, Alton Ashley, Iris, the 6-point Iris, Kel Balak, Widowmaker Marksman, Einan Holt Valchev, Widowmaker Scouts, and then a gun carriage. Like, it's it looks really light on the table, but I think it's also probably better than it looks like.
That was USA Red with the 3 KTOR players?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's 3 KTOR players?
3 KTOR players. That's going to be a tough one.
What's their other two lists? Their other two factions?
Krix
and Krix.
Krix and Circle.
Oh, okay.
Krix and Circle.
Oh, it's only 2 KTOR players.
I was really hoping it was Krix, Signar, and then 3 KTORs.
It's 2 Krix.
It's definitely 3.
Oh, sorry. Alex Cosmo's highlighted. So, yes. Yeah. And then Keith is an alternate as Krix. So they have. Yep.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
It's a lot of KTOR.
It is. Yeah. And after this weekend taught me anything, they're going to have a long weekend.
I mean, only if they have to drop into nothing but
Krix
and Signar, which I mean, almost every team has at least one Krix and one Signar player.
I know.
Yeah. I almost feel like a team has to have some kind of justification for not having one player from each of those factions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that justification could very well be what I mentioned earlier, which is just like, these are our country's 5 best players and this is what they play. And that's fine. But, like, if you're, yeah.
How many Fianna players are out there? She's like, isn't she kind of getting a free pass if everybody's focused on Krix Signar, which they should be? And then she gets to.
There are 13.
13? Hmm.
And how many? There's 26 Legion players? 27?
27.
Yeah. So
there's 8 Abbey 2s, which has a lot of crossover with Fianna 2 list wise.
Sure.
But I think they were guessing for Grimkin.
It's interesting. You said there's how many? 27 Legion players?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I count.
And 41 Oracles of Annihilation theme forces?
Yeah. I'm actually more surprised at the one Raven. I think at least, one of the Abbey 2 lists, at least, is in Children. You lose free solos, but you get +1 to go first.
Yeah.
You might even get a free solo if you take enough Wasps.
Yeah, the theme forces at this point, with the exception of Signar and, I guess, maybe Krix, maybe KTOR. Like, they're just too restrictive where there's, like, an obvious best one per faction to make, like, too much out of, like, oh, like, you know, 80% of the lists in this faction are this one theme force. Well, you can't play out of theme if you want to play competitively, and there's really only one competitive theme per faction. So that's not, like, super stunning, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
100% of convergence is the same theme.
How many do they have 2 themes?
They don't. They don't. Okay. And that one theme gives shield guard to servitors. It's real hard to pass up.
Yeah.
Keith, were there any lists you've seen so far that just really stuck out at you as new and unusual, though?
There wasn't anything that came as an enormous surprise. I think the I have always been way behind on what's happening with Legion, because for whatever reason, there just has never been a Legion player within, like, 500 miles of me.
JVM's within 500 miles of you. Oh, not anymore.
Yeah, the closest one has basically always been Jake. So I'm always behind the times on what's happening with Legion. So all all the Double Thrones kind of caught me by surprise, being like, whoa, that's a lot of Double Thrones. Because there are, like, a lot of lists using two thrones. Some of them are Saren, some of them are Thagrosh 1. But looks like a Crix drop, probably.
It spiked up heavily lately. The ability to take off, 16 miles a turn, potentially? And
almost like a Stormstrider.
Right?
Bleh.
Other than that, not really. I mean, that's always sort of been the case with the WTC, is that very little of it is super surprising, because people tend to play conservatively. They tend to play what they know is strong.
Yeah. That was, we went into the first year kind of like, oh, we're going to see like a bunch of really off-the-wall lists. Like, here's like the great innovators of the game. And it turns out that when you have four other people relying on you, you tend not to innovate.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by how much Kane 3 and how much Sloan there is, when I'm pretty sure that they're going to have a hard time in the scenario packet. So they're going to be pushing for assassinations really hard, would be my guess. Some of them have made like concessions. Almost all the Kane 3s have a Colossal in them. Almost all of the Sloans, or several of the Sloans, have like a Centurion on Jake's or something weird like that.
Almost tougher on their assassination plan, or almost tougher on their game plan, is just SR 2017 terrain. I don't know if they're going to load it up as much as, but that's, there's so many places for casters to just hide.
Yeah, no, it's, I feel like casters got easier to assassinate in Mark III, but SR 2017 has actually just made them harder to assassinate.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes and no. For Kane, it's building or bust. Do you have a building to hide behind? If yes, you might live.
Sure.
If not, you won't.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
But for Sloan, yeah, even cover can stop Sloan sometimes.
Or just blocking line of sight, right? She doesn't have, she has true sight, but she can't see through a forest.
Yeah, forests and buildings.
Yeah.
Stop her dead.
Yeah.
And then cover can oftentimes be enough.
Right.
I know. I'm excited for the WTC.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward
to it.
It'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out.
Are you going to Skype in with me and watch it at like 4 in the morning?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys got to send us like chat encouragement while we're while we're casting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And also point out things on a 30-second delay that you guys are missing. Like, because you guys would be like, where's the Manhunter on this? And I'll be like, it's behind the Juggernaut.
Right.
It's behind the Juggernaut. And then like 15 seconds of me saying that, you guys would be like, oh, I see, it's behind the Juggernaut. And then 15 seconds later, oh, Nigel says it's behind the Juggernaut. God damn it. But yeah.
Yeah. I just hope that the same thing that happened last year happens this year, where a group of, I think, Finnish players got me to like give a shout out to their hometown. But it actually turned out it was Finnish players from the WTC, and the name of their hometown was just like penis in like their language or whatever. So that was pretty classy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be sad because Tom Guan is playing this year. So
wait,
he is
playing?
Yeah. He's on Team Texas.
Oh.
So I won't be able to watch the WTC with Tom Guan.
No, you won't. Yep. I mean, you can, if we Skype Texas, it'll be kind of like you're watching it with Tom Guan.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll send you guys out with an extra iPad and just put that on his table that he's playing with, and then that way he can still
perfect
Skype watch with me. Yeah. Watch other people play while he's playing.
Yeah.
It'll be WTception.
I'm really surprised the WTC didn't interfere with his busy Magic grinding schedule.
There's probably a PTQ like right in the same area.
Right. Yeah. So. Perfect.
All weekend long, it'd be like 2-3 against red fire host or whatever. Lost to Zombie Rush and, but yeah. Are you got, well, Scott? Well, me and Brent this weekend are going to a tournament in KC.
Oh my!
Yep. Josh and Scott are welcome to go.
I haven't 100% ruled it out.
And Keith also hasn't 100% ruled it out. But no pressure, Keith. I'm not going to socially pressure you all week. You just, if you show up on Friday. Well, tell me Thursday. I got to clean up my house. I got to clean the bathroom.
Is it a War Machine weekend qualifier?
No.
No. It's just for funsies.
Oh.
Just a one day go out there.
Play War Machine for fun?
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, I know what I need to talk about. I built the perfect Cray list. It was almost by accident, but it's the perfect Cray list.
The one that you played against me?
Yeah. I'd use the secret to pull it out of the bag.
Nice.
And it was just that perfect Cray list.
It seemed pretty good. Stormclads with him seem nutso.
Stormclads with him are amazing.
Yeah.
So what's perfect Cray list, Keith?
The recipe for the perfect Cray list is you take two Stormclads, an Ironclad, and a Firefly. I think that's Kray's battle group.
It was, and a Centurion.
No, the Centurion is, oh yeah, the Centurion is on him, and a Centurion.
Yep, the so Charger.
Four heavies and a light on Kray. And then Junior gets a Charger. It's heavy metal, obviously. Junior gets a Charger, and then your other solos are Squire, Runewood, and what's his name? Strangeways. You don't take Jake's because she makes one of your Jacks worse. You don't want that.
In retrospect, Keith. Well, go ahead. Finish with it, and then
the rest of the list is min mechanics, which are nice for repairs, and then they're a scoring unit, and then they're a Storm Strider, because I think all Signar lists should have a Storm Strider in them at this point. That's not to say it's too good. It doesn't need to be nerfed or anything, just that all Signar lists should have at least one.
Well, that's good, because Matt Wilson said that before the CID, so now they do.
He used the secret.
But yeah, I was super impressed with that list.
It looked awesome, and it made me want to play Kray.
Yeah, I would imagine the Centurion probably puts you in a pretty tough position, right? Because they're going to trample...
The Centurion literally doesn't do anything other than toe in his zone and not lose the game.
The Centurion parks his ass on the side of the table that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah. And then everything else smashes your face off.
So that's what I was going to say, Keith, is in retrospect, the Centurion should be on Junior, because who cares? And
I care, because I can't let it outside of the control range, because it needs its power-up focus to stop charges.
That's a good point.
Also, the reposition... Effing five, where it repositions faster than it walks, is a little amazing.
All right.
Sometimes the Centurion walks forward and like kills two things, and then repositions back to where it was and says no charges.
That's fair. Like, I was just like, the Charger wants to walk forward and shoot, and then it wants to reposition afterwards, and it doesn't, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Basically, whatever Jack you put on.
Yeah,
Junior is just going to be a sad Jack.
It did make Keith sad every time the Charger killed something and couldn't reposition. But it was like,
I was like, damn this Charger!
I'm just going to have to settle for smashing everything.
One time it almost screwed me because it let you charge one of my heavies.
Yep, that's right.
That you otherwise wouldn't have been able to get to because it was hiding behind a forest.
Yep. Maybe you should put the shield guard on Junior, and then
Yeah, the Charger's good.
I'm not saying Charger's not a good Jack.
So the reason why it's Charger for sure is that to activate Kray's feat, you need to hit things. His feat gives his friendly faction models weapons. They're ranged and melee weapons gain beacon and flare.
Oh, that's right. Yep. You want some models that can reach out
a long ways to tag things so that you can charge them a long ways.
Yeah.
Which is why I like the Charger a lot, because it's 18 inches.
It's
why Kray himself is really good at it, because he's 16 inches. He walks, or 19 inches, rather. He walks, or no, even more than that, like 21. He walks 8 and shoots 13 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
It's walk 8, shoot 13.
Yep.
And the Storm Strider is really good. Walk 8, or walk 5, shoot 14.
Yeah.
And those are three models that aren't going to be affected by the feat, which can tee off your heavies as necessary.
Yeah, no, I forgot about Beacon. That's a good point. That is a good point.
And then the combination of Storm Strider, Firefly, and Stormclads, like, they work together so well. It's just really cool. Like, the Firefly will go in, do some damage or shoot something, apply Beacon, and then hang out within 5 inches. The Storm Strider will move up, shoot a little bit to clear off, like, screening things or weaken the heavies, and then you send in Stormclads, which are then +2 to hit and damage with their assault shots. So they've got just they're super likely to remove opposing heavies, even potentially armor buffed ones.
Right.
Because they've got their power 16 assault shot, and then on the feat turn, 4 attacks with their power 19 swords. Just really nice synergies. Also, that lets you play like a hit and fade game really well too. If you're getting jammed up or whatever, the Stormclads can come in and use their guns, and the Firefly can use its guns and get away with using the Storm Strider's accuracy bonus.
Right.
The list just seemed to work together really well. I found great use for Admonition on a Stormclad. I think Arcane Shield will most of the time go on the other Stormclad. And then I didn't find a great use yet for countermeasures. That might be a very rare tech answer for that list.
Yeah. There's not really a good place to put that in that list.
No.
Yeah.
No, not really. Sometimes maybe if, like, the Centurion is just in a position where he can jam himself in and be a super nuisance.
Sure.
You can put it on him and, like, engage a Colossal or something.
Yeah.
Or a Battle Engine. like a, if he can get into if he if the, if you can get it, him into like a cricket, that would probably be pretty heinous.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I think Cray's got some legs. The tricky part about him is that the table needs to allow for him to play his game plan, because he's going to be the most like terrain dependent character. He wants terrain. He wants all of the terrain so he can hide his jacks behind things when he repositions and pop out of surprising places.
Yeah.
So he really fits his fluff as being a reconnaissance man in that respect. But sometimes you're going to get a table that's just doesn't have the right kind of terrain for him to take advantage of, and he might not be able to play well into that.
I think my favorite model in that whole list, though, is Runewood.
Is what?
Runewood.
Mm-hmm. Runewood.
Yep. Archduke Runewood.
He just needs to be
Why
like,
am I here? Yeah.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Just a sweet little combat solo.
He can save Kraya focus by reveling the warjacks that get knocked down.
Oh, he can revely warjacks. It's not just warrior models.
Yep.
Okay.
Can
he stand on a flag like a champion.
Okay.
Can he also give the mechanics plus +2 to hit on the charges?
He sure can.
Nice. That might be relevant, actually.
The other thing that's nice about the list is the massive amount of repairs, especially if there's an objective, because you can take the repair objective, and then if your opponent's playing a lot of guns, you give them a heavy to shoot at, like the Ironclad. Like, Ironclad blunders out in front of the army. This was something I did purely by accident against Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel's like, there's a heavy, I'm going to shoot at it. And he did like 25 points of damage to it, leaving it barely alive. And then it stumbled back into the waiting arms of all the mechanics and got healed for like 17, 18 points of damage.
How much do each of the regular mechanics heal?
The leader is D6, the gobbers are D3, so the min unit is D6 and 3D3. And then
D3 plus 3 off of Strange Ways.
D3 plus 3 on Strange Ways.
And then D3 off of your objective, if that's
D3
the
objective.
Yep. Pretty good. It's a lot of healing.
And with reposition 5, they get out of the fight
right
pretty quickly.
Yep.
And with the kind of threat ranges Kray has, they can get back into the fight pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
You absorb a lot of board space really quickly with Kray, because while his speed spell does not help them run, every warjack, their trample and reposition range is longer than their run range. So you get some run bonuses, especially for the Centurion. Trample 7, reposition 5.
Yeah, it's a benefit of playing Hammerstrike that, like, I immediately really enjoyed was, you know, like, turn 1, my drillers trample 7 and then reposition 3, so they actually just go 2 inches farther than if they ran flat out, and that's with only reposition 3. So reposition 5, pretty amazing, particularly
so
in Warjack. Pretty amazing.
He's an interesting caster because he's replicating a huge part of his portfolio is like overlapping Harkovich's portfolio. The difference is the jacks. You're getting this like elite, this interesting elite mix of jacks. You're going to have like 6 jacks, and they're Stormclads and Centurions, and
right.
It's not just spamming Juggernauts and Kodiaks and right. Marauders. So it's right. Sort of a neat game plan. It's kind of cool to see.
No, it is. I just watching Keith play it, I was like, I just want to buy this army. Is it possible to play just this one Kray army and not mm-hmm. have to buy like a second Signar list?
I mean, there's a plenty of overlap, like 2 Centurions and a Stormclad in your most, or yeah, 2 Stormclads, and a Stormstrider, and you're most of the way to a sweet Haley 2 list.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And if you're playing Signar, why are you not playing Haley 2?
Good point.
Even now. That's the other thing we learned this weekend is that Haley 2 still just fine.
True that.
She's like super good in the Menoth, right? Right, Brent?
She is. She's really, really, really good in the Menoth infantry spam, it turns out.
Particularly the kind that wants to recur.
If you enjoy getting souls, you will not enjoy Stormstriders.
Why? I mean, I'm totally torn because I'm 100% in John's camp. But being in John's camp is like the worst place to be by the same token. So I just like don't know which way to go on this one.
Also turns out the more 2s and 3s you can roll in a D3, the worse it gets for Menoth.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the more like 3, 4, 5, 6s you can roll on a D6?
Well,
that's a
D3. I mean, the 2s and 3s on a D3, yeah, however it works out.
Yeah. Okay.
When you start getting those 2 and 3 jumps off of your 10 lightning jump attacks or lightning generator attacks.
Yeah.
Menoth gets sad.
Yeah. I think
I don't know why. I think a lot of armies get sad. Electro generation off of its melee attack, but I'm glad that it does.
I think against Nigel, I managed to temporal accelerate Lattermore and randomly get all those attacks too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was lame. You caused a Forge Seer to explode, and then also like a couple of mechanics that happened to be unfortunately.
And a second Forge Seer too.
Yep.
It turns out Haley still has a whole bunch of toolbox spells. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Yep.
Yeah, she's still lame. More nerfs.
Never want to see her on the table.
Yeah, they need to give her variable focus.
Mad Dogger.
Yep. She needs a D6 plus 3 focus a turn.
I think you just mean, at that point, you just Haley won her is what you mean.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Oh, I was going to say
Butcher. This caster was already middle of the pack and not seeing play. Nerf her into the ground. Why did this happen?
There was a troll player that was having a bad experience, and so they, you know.
Design space.
Yeah. They were getting rid of that troll player's bad experience first. And I was like, the first on the list, now they're working their way down to other people's bad experiences. Yeah,
that's right.
Hey, trolls count, buddy. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. No one cares about hordes people.
Yeah, they're the gingers
the
of War Machine.
The thing for you to know on this cast is that no one cares about hordes people, and it's even more true in Mark III than it was in Mark II.
You are the most hordes of hordes people.
Yep. It is funny. I don't know if you guys have seen on the Facebook post. Like, we're getting this random amount of, like, these people, like, literally, particularly in the Scorn Facebook page. I know that Musa and Minis think that Scorn isn't even people, but blah, 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 blah. Like, they, like, lead their thing. Like, they just object to something that we, you know, our general, like, not even something we've said recently.
Just
a general.
And it's totally, it's not even Musa and Minis. It's totally me while you guys laugh.
Well, there's been at least two
really
of those.
Funny.
What's that, Scott?
I'm sorry, Nigel. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead,
buddy. There was one in the Protectorate of Meenoth. Facebook group where somebody came on or somebody made this post. They're like, you know, I really like Muse on Minis for all the commentary that they do, but are they seriously trying to tell me? Like, and basically their big grumblekin was with the fact that someone and said that creators or the faithful masses theme force may be like the strongest theme force, right?
It
may
better than Ghost Fleet specifically.
Yeah, better than Ghost Fleet. Like, it may be more powerful than Ghost Fleet, I think, is exactly what was said.
Okay. And David who said that?
It was David, and he didn't assert that it was more powerful. He just asserted that
right. It
was a better written, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. And so, like,
I was like, because I don't remember that being said.
I don't remember that either.
It was David that said something along the lines of, this might be as or more powerful than Ghost Fleet. He did say that.
Did he?
He did. Right. I do remember him, because when he said it, I was like, whatevs.
I've been hearing people like whispering that might actually be the case, though.
I mean, in my mind, I was like, probably not. But then I was also like, I remember that we panned Ghost Fleet when it came out, so maybe.
Except me. And somebody found it.
So, yeah.
There was a write-up on the CID forums today about Amon Faithless Masses saying why they thought it was stronger than most any other theme in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty strong. Matt,
like a fully loaded
Matt 13,
20, Matt,
or Matt 12 or 13 POW 20s, like for 8 points or whatever they cost.
I'll show them. I just won't kill any of their troops.
Yep, that's always a good idea, not killing Adrian's.
Mm-hmm. I read that and immediately tried to figure out why John was dropping Testament into Stormstriders.
Because John's like 6 weeks behind. He's still trying to make Fetch happen.
I know reading that thread was really interesting, because the whole time I'm reading it and I'm just like, I literally have to like sit on my hands as I read it. Cause like, I just want to jump in and I just want to say something, like, you know, like I just kept wanting to respond. And then like, I was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, it's like, there's no reason to, you know, make the situation worse or anything.
You wait in there.
Like, yeah. That's not that mean.
You wait in there, Seabass, and you let them have it.
Well, what I was going to do is I was going to jump in and like, have you ever gotten to that point where like you start typing like the first couple sentences of like a statement, then you're like, no, I better not do this.
Yeah. We're like, right? 350 episodes in. Yes. I've been there many times.
Fair. Well, so the whole time I was like, I wrote out like my first statement. It was like, well, you know, like,
I certainly apologize if, like, what you took, you know, frustrated you, or if the statement, you know, frustrated you. But, you know, like, I think, you know, if you go back and you listen to it a little bit more carefully, I think, you know, the comment was more about how, like, that tier list, you know, might be the most powerfully written, or it may have the most raw potential. Like, I don't know if they're just, if it's just an open, like, declarative statement. It was more of a conversational topic. But I kept thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to jump in here and I'll say that and it'll be okay. And then I'm like, no, I better not, because, like, invariably, whenever I post something online or I say something, like, I'll try, like, I'll type what I'm going to say to try and be, like, the nicest person that I can possibly be. But then, like, people read it and they're just like, who is this pretentious douche? Because, like, they're reading it, like, way out of context.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I better not. I better just leave this one alone.
So, like, that happens a lot where it doesn't make interesting radio for anybody to go on there and just be like, this thing might be powerful in this realm, or maybe a little less powerful. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's kind of powerful. And then everybody's like, I agree that it's in a power level on this band. Like, that, like, no one wants to listen to us say that. So the reality is you get on and you talk about things with your friends and you're just like, I think this is really good. Like, sure, that doesn't mean that you can't see it being bad. But you're going to say the thing that you believe the most. But then people just take it as like, well, it's on a podcast and somebody said it. So they 100% think it's true and they will literally die for their statement.
Yeah.
So, like, so you know, you just, you gotta roll with it. It is what it is.
And that's how you end up with Scorn is not a real faction. Says Muse.
No, I will die for that statement. Look, it's clear that PP agrees with me, because I just realized this weekend, and Brent, you're aware because I pointed this out. I've been logging into War Room and, you know, going to, like, create lists, right? And in Mercenaries, it's just like, it's there at the bottom, but it's there, like, right there when you go, like, create list, choose your faction. Like, there's Mercenaries right there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I get, you know, and, like, my eyes glanced over and I'm like, yeah, that's all. That's all the factions. And it wasn't until, like, just this weekend when we were trying to figure out a Scorn theme list that I realized that if you want to pick, if you want to make a Hordes faction, you have to click an additional button in War Room to get from the real factions to the Hordes factions to make your list.
It's even worse than that, Josh, when you get, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you get updates, they're like, updates have been released. Would you like to download them? You're like, yes. And then it asks you again, even the Scorn ones?
Yes. It must have just been like randomly.
Yeah, you just keep clicking yes. It's like iTunes. You just keep clicking and you just get it all.
Well,
but,
I'm going to start clicking no for that last
You got to read the fine print, Josh. Exactly. That last checkbox is no, I don't want Scorn stuff.
Yeah, no more Scorn updates,
please. Exactly. I want to get my update 3 seconds faster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, you'll never have to look up those rules anyway, so.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's like trolls. Like,
it's like exactly trolls. Like trolls. It's like Hordes players.
Yeah. Well, okay, fair. Yeah. I was like, man, yeah, like, just download the relevant stuff. Yeah. So pretty much everything on the first tab.
Oh, that just sank in, Josh. Scott is the only player on this cast who plays Hordes at all. So he's not just holding up trolls, he's holding up literally the entire game system.
He's trying.
Oh man, guys are so screwed. That's not how this works.
Yep. We have our token minority.
Yep. The champion they deserve.
The champion they deserve. No. Man, that's mean. That's hard. That's hard, guys. I don't know what these people did to you, but if I'm the champion they deserve, they're screwed.
Spoken like a true Hordes player.
Yep. I don't know. Trolls are fun. You guys should try them. You guys should play more Hordes. Everybody should just immediately switch over to Hordes and play that a lot.
I mean, if I desperately wanted to buy into trolls and play a strong melee army, wouldn't I just buy Grimkin instead?
But then you would be playing Grimkin.
Yeah.
And of all the things in the game that I revile, the one thing that I revile more than trolls is probably Grimkin.
Wow. That's the
problem.
Do you hate Grimkin or Scorn more, Josh?
Oh, I don't hate Scorn. It's just irrelevant. It's like, how often do you think about Lithuania on a daily basis? Would it be zero? because that's how often I think about Scorn.
Do you hate Coven Darkhost or Grimkin more?
Grimkin.
It's really the poetry. He's just not a poetry fan.
We did discuss this weekend having a old witch poetry slam corner. So if you guys would like that as a part of our cast where we read some old witch poetry on a weekly basis, you go ahead and post in the forums and let us know that you would like old witch poetry corner.
Yeah.
I might, you know, I didn't think it would be possible, but I might experience more pain than John as a result of that.
So keep that in mind that you will be, if you choose to have us do old witch poetry corner, you may be causing Keith an unconscionable amount of pain.
Wait, so who's going to read the old witch poetry? Is the
question. Oh, it will absolutely be written and read by Nigel and I.
Perfect. I'm voting. I'm going to go make like a fake login and vote.
Go for it.
Like you must.
On occasion, if Jason Souls would like, he may submit some of his own poetry. And then on that particular cast, we can have people like try to decide whether or not it's Nigel and my fan fiction poetry or Jason Soule's actual poetry. Well,
never mind. Tell me the poetry section starts with Keith.
It very well might. We'll see how badly John takes it.
John takes it worse than me. Like, I can hold up pretty well. We'll see.
Well, and also we'll like start by reading it like a crone, like, you know, to my trump card, I shall play. But then eventually, eventually we'll start going into a pirate voice. With my faction, I ruin your day. Arr! And then some sort of might get him in the.
Oh man!
Oh, this is amazing. Amazing.
Perfection.
Has everybody got their War Machine weekend tickets now that they're on sale?
No,
nope.
I have mine.
Well, you had yours.
Well,
when you...
I know you have yours, sir, Mr. Fancy qualifier. I know Brent has his.
I actually sprung for the Thursday buy your minis early thing just to see how different it was this year.
So I can give you like all of my money and then you can go buy like the troll brawlers and the bears and stuff for me, right?
I could. I'm also going to be doing the same thing I did for Dion when the Growler came out after a year and a half wait. I'll be bringing one of those ninja blenders.
Don't do that.
To drop it right into it, right in front of you.
Don't do that. I thought you were my friend, Brent. I thought we were buddies, yo. How would you do that?
Because you're a Hordes person.
Didn't I get you already trolled you once with Hellmouth Tentacles? Why wouldn't I not continue that?
Yeah, fair. Fair. Ask a stupid question. You get the answers you deserve. I know I'm really looking forward to War Machine Weekend. Hopefully I can get some cool games in Iron Arena. So I think that's where I'm going to post up most of my time. Just play some random games in Iron Arena and group my friends on.
Aren't you going to play in the LCQ?
Yeah.
Yeah. All I heard was, Scott, you're playing in the LCQ.
Yeah. There's
whatever the Iron Gauntlet
is. If you're not already qualified for the Invitational, the only reason to go to War Machine Weekend is to play in the LCQ. So that's what you're doing, Scott.
No, there's lots of...
Nope, Scott, you're playing in the LCQ. Hey, you're playing in the LCQ.
Yeah, just be glad we're not making you play trolls in it.
Scott, 200 people playing in the LCQ, you will be one of the two troll players. You've got this.
Yeah. Well,
no,
I didn't.
Dark horse factor going for you.
I didn't say you had to get slaughtered in the LCQ, but if that's the choice you make, that's the choice you make.
Mm.
Wow, the support coming from this cast to me is just overwhelming right now.
Yeah, we're supporting you pretty hard. We're telling you to play in the LCQ, so you know.
When you want to talk about dark horse factions, though, Scott, how many times have you looked at a Scorn player and went, "I've got no idea what any of their stuff does"?
But it doesn't matter.
And based on the WTC stats, you're 2.5 times more likely to see a Scorn player than a Trollblood player.
That doesn't make me feel better.
I don't think
that
it was.
Doesn't make you feel better about any of this.
I don't think it was supposed to.
On average, I think there's more Marauders in one of Nigel's lists than there are Troll players in the season.
It's not on average. That's just a fact.
Yep.
Not even Trump would dispute that.
20% less, in fact.
So you're telling me not to play trolls, huh?
I mean, just in general, yes.
I mean, literally, it'll be you and Cliff Klein playing trolls.
Well, that'll be all right.
And God willing, that's a mirror match round.
I think the Northkin stuff will be out by then.
Yeah, it'll
totally be out. Northkin stuff comes out in November, probably at War Machine Weekend. I was looking at the release schedule earlier.
Oh, you mean like the actual new models? Like the Theme Forces will be out, right? Like before then?
So the first Theme Force, it comes out No Quarter Prime and is Trenchers. Comes out mid-September. No Quarter Prime is every 2 months. So if the second one is mid-November, unless they're selling a copy early at War Machine Weekend, they won't have it.
Wait, is that? I thought that their intention was to like do this CID and then basically just once the CID was done, just drop them all at once.
If there are models attached, I thought they were doing them in No Quarter releases.
Hmm. Okay.
Hang on 1 moment.
You probably know better than I do. Now. Yeah.
Warma Horde's release schedule. November to be decided is Bear Handlers, Raiders, Elder, Valka, Cole Grima, and the theme box. It will probably be available at War Machine Weekend, I would assume. But I don't know if the theme force will be that makes it all work. They released the Trencher stuff at Gen Con, I thought. But they didn't have the theme list. Well, they didn't even release the final version yet.
Yeah.
That comes out in 22 days.
Huh. That's pretty... I mean, their promise that we would all have a theme force by the end of the year. Like, they have to just drop a huge batch of them all in one go.
They're dropping the theme forces that went through with all the giant model releases, like Northkin,
yes,
I think they're going into No Quarter. The theme forces like Faithful Masses and Lelys, I don't know what the release schedule on those are. The theme forces they're previewing in the Insider, I think are just getting dropped late September.
Okay.
Probably right around the same time as the WTC.
As long as I got my irregulars by the end of the month, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be surprised if you didn't, actually. Maybe not Lelys, but probably irregulars.
Yeah. Well, all right.
The LCQ is time turns, isn't it?
It's been...
I believe it's time turns.
Time
turns. Yeah, the LCQ is time turns. Everything else is death clock, I believe.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I found out the LCQ, that's the most fascinating part of it. It was... how little nobody knows how to play time turns anymore, and how often that's like, oh crap, I was short and I wasn't able to finish this thing. And you think you're like tilting and like, you know, but then they immediately...
And your opponent immediately just does the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to round 4 just like winning all my games because they just couldn't like finish their turns basically. Right. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just assassinate your caster since he didn't move Arcane Shield over to himself.
Since you moved all the units out from in front of him, but then didn't get time to move your actual Warcaster, I guess he's dead.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
It's a different game for sure.
Games to play.
You have a lot of what?
I got a lot of practice games to play.
Mm-hmm.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, this weekend. Hashtag.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got nothing else going on.
Yeah, well, like I said, like I'm like 75-80% sure I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely want to go.
Mm-hmm. Me and Brent are going to go get breakfast in the morning, some sausage and gravy biscuits or whatever.
Okay, so that is a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a little biscuit place around the corner that just serves you ridiculous amounts of food.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm. Soup kitchen.
You should come down with Nigel, Josh.
I, after leaving the last 2 weeks before this weekend, and then am going to be gone for like a week and some change, including 2 weekends to Belgium, need to stay at home for a couple weekends, at least.
Mm.
So, otherwise I would, mm-hmm. but someone's got to watch the little one.
Yeah, I'm excited for this weekend. I don't know what the attendance will be, but, and also, local tournaments are so weird, because you just, you know, after playing a weekend of like, Dark Host and Haley 2, and then you go there and nobody's playing that.
You're just like, what does Xerxes 2 do again? Or
yeah.
I mean, I guess that one's actually not even like a super weird one.
Yeah. But yeah, just even even Wormwood.
It's a Hordes player, so it's irrelevant anyway, right?
Yeah,
no, it is. I actually played into Scorn at the WITC, and I was like, I don't know what any of your stuff does anymore, but I'm just going to play my game.
Yeah.
And then I won.
Yeah, I don't even find out until after the game's resolved. It's like, did I win? Who cares if I lost? Oh, it was Grimkin.
All right. So I guess I'll see you guys Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna
hold you to it.
Yeah,
I'll do my best.
Are you going down and coming back up same day?
Yeah. Yep. That's what I did last time. I just raced down there and came back.
I'll think about it. I'll talk to Sunny and see if her mom has Autumn on Saturday. And all the listeners are super interested in my like day-to-day life scheduling plans.
You'd be surprised. This is filling in a lot of gaps. Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wasn't on the cast for like a good 3.5 months probably. I probably lost all my stalkers. They probably got bored.
Mm-hmm.
They moved on to sea bass.
That's true. He is the new hotness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm the new hotness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I feel bad for our listeners. I really do.
I don't. All we get is feedback of like, oh, I'm really liking this new Scott guy in the podcast.
I've always felt bad for our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, half of a Hordes player, so who cares?
Right, then, exactly. Well, that's how I
justify
reconcile it with myself,
yeah.
Is I'm just like, I'm just heaping misery on people who deserve
it. Yeah, 50% of the time, I'm doing the Lord's work.
So quick question for everybody before, because it sounds like we're getting ready to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question. Grim 2... is my like Grim 2 is a part of that's the foundation of my list pair.
Mm-hmm.
My off list, I'm kind of torn. I either want to run like Calandra with a super ridiculous beast brick. Lasso has like a really, really good list with Calandra, and it's a really solid list. So I was thinking about playing that or playing Brent and I dojoed a Doomshaper 3 list a long time ago. That has been like really, it's proven to be pretty strong for me. Probably because it's a pretty straightforward and a pretty simple game plan. So like my brain, like the hamster trap that is my brain is capable of like running with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what I want to pair. Any thoughts?
What is your Grim 2 list weak against?
Grim 2 list is weak against armor skew.
Okay. So if that's like if that's your hammer list, if that's your your go-to list that you want to drop. Like, if that's where you're most comfortable, you enjoy the most, like, if you played the whole day and played Grim 2, you'd be happy. Like, if that's the general place you are, then your second list should entirely be geared towards whatever handles the few places you can't drop your Grim 2 list.
All right.
So, and I don't, maybe both of your other lists can handle both of those things, in which case I would say it's personal preference. But my, like, I'm in a similar-ish place to you right now in terms of, I know I want to play Osram. He's just good against a lot of things, but he is bad into, unfortunately, the Krix boogeyman of the meta. So I have to come up with a second list to play into Krix, which in Mercs is proving to be difficult to think about. But that's how I'm approaching my list build, and that's how I would, or my list pair. And so if you have a list that you are very happy with in your Grim 2 list, I would recommend approaching it in the same way as far as picking your second list, which is just what do I feel like if I put Grim 2 down on the table, I'm like disadvantaged. And then your other list should just cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should just play Grim 2 anytime that you can and only drop the other list when you have to.
Yeah. And then just a quick rundown of a list you could plug in is some sweet Chad tech fresh off the press.
Oh yeah,
I probably shouldn't say this because Chad probably like, oh, keep secret, but but it's
I'm gonna play it in 2019.
But it's Madrak 3, Impaler, Bouncer, Trollkin Champion Hero, Creel Stone, Scribes and Elder, Trollkin Champions, full unit with Scholarly Bonehammer, Trollkin Champions, full unit, Trollkin Warders, leader and four grunts, Band of Heroes. But basically, it's Death 6 champs with Sanguine Bond, a million shield guards, and a feat that heals his whole army. Spread the damage everywhere and make him do it again. Also, the list is called Return to Meat Mountain.
That's Madrak 1, right?
Madrak 3.
And those changes haven't gone live yet.
Madrak 3.
Yeah, it's Madrak 1? Okay, it's 1.
Oh, is it 1? Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, trust me. Like, as soon as that list goes live, yeah, I'm doing champs, long riders. And then Madrak 1, and then probably like a melee-centric battle group. Or I might run like a bomber or something. I don't know.
But yeah, it sounds like that would
Return
go great.
Sounds amazing.
Sounds like it would go great with Grim 2.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to another episode of Muzon Minis. I'm Nigel.
I'm Josh.
Keith.
Brent.
Seabass.
Until next, you listen to us.
Nice.